gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Now, the JoJo of the week.
All the haters and losers, of which there are many, were saying Jordan's going to be bad again this year. I just want everybody to know that the Ape Train has officially left the station this year. We're doing things this year.
Way to go, loser.
Oh. What does that even mean?
I think you did.
I don't have a lot to say about that.
Got him.
The hustling. Anything is better than that.
Suck me arse, dilly dilly mofos.
Oh, to be the seller arse is something I do dread. Oh, to be the seller arse when winter rears its ugly head. Now your destiny you can only barely choose. Your money you will surely lose. Oh, the seller arse am I.
You got Plaxicode.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man.
Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The pod is back and is better than ever.
She's got a real nice high spiral.
Buckle up because it's going to get pretty juicy.
This is the Semi-Pro Ducks Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Welcome to week 3 of the fantasy season. I am your host, Rick. Here on a Wednesday, like it should be, to give you all of the worst fantasy information you can find. It's another week where at least another undefeated team is going to fall. Injuries are starting to have their impact across teams all across the league, and after 2 weeks, really starting to see who the big players are going to be. And if you happen to know who those big players are, want to give me some useful information on this pod, I'd really greatly appreciate it. So enough of that. Time to get to the matchups. We're kicking things off with our doctor. Enjoy.
He was a famous trumpet man from all Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was a top man at his craft.
We welcome in our lead medical advisor, our doctor. He is the go-to man for the best rectal exam in the game. It's Andrew and his team, Melvin Garden. Dr. Andrew, welcome to Pod. Thank you for canceling all of your important doctor duties for this.
Yeah, we got to make this quick. I'll be in clinic in like 15 minutes.
Okay, awesome. Well, we're going to have Dr. Andrew here answering all of your important medical questions later on. Right now, it's the matchups. We kick things off with the number one team in the league taking on one of the teams at the bottom. Tim, I left the stove on Diggs, taking on Brandon, Team Juju Smith Juicer. Tim is 2-0 and has the highest scoring team in the league after 2 weeks, thanks to who else? Alvin Kamara. And Brandon gets a win in week 2 over Luke, but he is 11th in scoring. Despite that, he's 1-1. Tim has the number one running back, the number one, number five wide receiver, the number one, and the number two quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. It's only 2 weeks in, but is Tim the team to beat?
Tim is the team to beat. God, that is a stupid team. I was going through his matchups. He has four top five players in the starting lineup. Mahomes, AJ Green, Tyreek Hill, and Alvin Kamara. And it's so mean. It's such a hard team to play. One thing that kind of bothers me about Tim is that depth is a bit of an issue for him.
Yes.
So he's got the huge talent, like those players in every position that are just going to obviously they're going to score too many points. But after that, it's a little bit scary. Like I'm wondering, like in the long run, does he have enough talent to make up for starting like Cortland Sutton at wide receiver? Or throwing in Marquise Goodwin, or like, who's he really going to like play past, you know, Alvin Kamara?
Right. Yeah. I had the only flaw on Tim's team is that like Derrick Henry might actually be bad and he's not going to be a great number two running back, but he's already got Royce Freeman and he spent all that money on Philip Lindsay. So if one of them ends up actually becoming the true starter in Denver, like he's got an instant plug-in right there. He's got enough depth, I think, to get by. Like his starting team is strong enough to the point where he can absolutely make up in the flaw of having a bad Henri on his team and still be 2-0 because that's exactly what he is. Like he has enough big play guys that his team really like you don't see the depth or problems of that he has. Where like Marquise Goodwin, if his injury isn't super long term, he comes back, he's going to put up enough numbers as a wide receiver three to make up any hole, and it's going to be as solid of a wide receiver three out there.
Yeah, and it's going to make up to the, like, it's just going to fill in those, like, extra little points, which is, like, he doesn't really need those extra points right now. Because, I mean, if A.J. Green keeps, you know, doing, like, old school throwback A.J. Green shit, then he's going to be okay. One thing that's tough for him this week, we're talking about Henry, against Jacksonville is going to be tough.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough. I think he's, like, the defenses he's playing this week aren't, looking at it, they're not that bad except for Jacksonville. But, like, how much is Derrick Henry really going to put up?
Yeah, because, I mean, last week, Patriots only got 67 yards on the ground, and Henry got 56 last week against Houston, who is a slightly better defensive team. Or, I mean, well, not better than Jacksonville. I shouldn't say that. That's not true at all. Henry's been struggling so far through the season. Like, his yard per carry isn't great. He did get 20 touches, though, which is, or almost 20 touches with, or carries with 18, which is kind of what I thought would be more the number that Tennessee would end up giving him. But that Jacksonville front line is going to make him have to work extra hard for his yards, and probably not a great play this week. But again, like, that's kind of your only flaw. Like, it may turn out that he probably should sit Derrick Henry and start both Freeman and Lindsey, especially if Lindsey is going to be running as well as he did. I mean, 14 carries and 15 carries the first 2 weeks of the year. Like, that's looking like a guy who's probably going to be the number one back soon enough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. You look, you take Lindsey, you take Freeman, and that's a nice little matchup. But right now, one of the other guys on his team gets hurt, and he's going to be struggling for some depth. If Tim's team stays healthy, knock on wood, I like the team. It's going to be fun to watch. That is a really, really scary team.
Yeah, the problem is that Kansas City with Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, they don't have a bye until week 12. Alvin Kamara has a bye week 6, and A.J. Green doesn't have a bye until week 9. So Tim can ride this team basically the first 9 weeks of the season and just get a huge lead, and when byes hit or injuries come in or whatever, like he's still set. He's going to be rolling with this team basically the first half of the season.
He's got to set and forget. Like, there's nothing that he needs to do right now.
Exactly. And especially if Pat Mahomes is going to be, you know, an MVP, future Hall of Famer, Pat Mahomes. I mean, he's, like, that's an incredible draft pick right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And when did he pick Mahomes up? Because, like, he wasn't even something I was looking at in the draft. Like,
15th round.
Did Tim just 15th round?
Yep. Just as a flyer, because he had taken Cousins already at that point in the 11th round. So it was just a total flyer, and then 4 touchdowns week 1, start him week 2, or 6 touchdowns week 1, or whatever it was, his dumb, stupid stats he's putting up. 4 touchdowns week 1, 6 last week. It makes no sense, man.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. I got some segments about that. If you can imagine a Chargers fan not liking Pat Mahomes.
Pure hatred very early in the season. Yeah, Brandon's team, on the other hand, I think he's got a wide receiver problem. I haven't liked his wide receivers basically since the draft. I didn't think Larry Fitzgerald was good enough to be anybody's wide receiver one. Pierre Garçon, also kind of old. I wasn't big on him in general. And he passed on Calamari Pooper, who was on his bench last week. So this could be more of a trust issue with not being able to play Pooper all that much.
Yeah, I think my notes are that he has the exact opposite situation that Tim does. He's got enough depth, like, he's got enough okay players at each situation, and other than, like, right now Melvin Gordon, he doesn't have that, like, that star, that stud who you know is going to put up points every week.
Right.
He's got a team that I think is, like, you know, good enough to win against, like, a 11th, 12th ranked team, but no one nearly good enough to, you know, match up against Tim's, like, Tim's got a Pro Bowl team. Tim put together a Pro Bowl team, and Brandon has, like, an old school, just, you know, names that can get you a couple points each week. Like, any of them could go off at any time, but at the same time, anyone could just put up like 2.5 points and be, you know, garbage.
Right. Was that some subtle shade or accidental shade that you threw at Luke saying that Brandon could beat a number 11 team?
Is Luke number 11?
Well, no, but Luke is the team that Brandon beat last week.
Oh, I honestly didn't know that, but yeah, it's about time someone takes down Luke's team. Luke's at, 1-1 now?
Yeah, like most of the league, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, no, I mean, what you were saying about Amari Cooper, like, does he, like, what's going on? I know you guys talked about that a little bit in the pod last week, but there are, like, big names on that team that's just not putting anything up, like Larry Fitz and Amari Cooper. Kelvin Benjamin's probably his best wide receiver at this point.
Well, Will Fuller has a really good connection with Benjamin Watson is not the quarterback of
sure.
Benjamin Watson, the tight end for the Saints. Deshaun Watson, they have like a really good connection where Fuller will have like 3 catches and 2 of them will be for touchdowns. I think he did that against the Seahawks last year. Like, they have this really good threat. He's a good deep downfield kind of guy, and he was out week 1, which probably hurt Watson. So I think he's like a decent play. He's a good wide receiver 3 to have. Amari Cooper, like, if you can trust him. Maybe the thing was that the Rams defense the first week was the secondary was way too strong. They were actually shutting Cooper down. He faced a Denver team where it was more open and Carr trusted him more to catch the ball. I mean, to go 10 for 10 for targets and receptions is super strong. He should be able to replicate that against Miami as well. And his schedule coming up pretty wide open. Another tough matchup against the Clippers. But, I mean, I would think that after that performance last week that Cooper is worth starting, especially over a guy like Corey Clement maybe, who was in because Ajayi got hurt. Or over a Garcon facing Kansas City or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking probably going over Garcon. I don't know. I'm so torn on those Philly running backs. It's like I like all of them individually, but I hate them as a team.
Yeah,
I hate them as a unit. But no, yeah, definitely what you were saying about Deshaun Jackson and Will Fuller. Once that goes off, it's going to be like that team is going to be really, really tasty.
Yeah. So this week, I'm sticking with Tim to say undefeated. I think that Mahomes to Tyreek Hill connection is going to do really big things at home against the Niners. Niners gave up a ton of yards last week to Detroit. I think Mahomes is going to take advantage of that big time. And I just don't like Brandon's wide receivers. And when you've got 3 of them on the team, like it's such a huge part of your roster. Like they have to be, you got to have at least 2 solid receivers. And I think if he's not going to play Cooper, he's really only got Will Fuller. And I just, there's too many question marks with Fitz and Garcon to me.
I absolutely agree. I was going to take Tim as well. Tim by a lot this week. And I think I threw in a Deshaun Jackson joke a little too subtly. And I just want to reassure you that I'm not a fucking idiot.
No.
And I know.
No, I got the joke. I was like, wait, did he knows Deshaun Jackson's not a quarterback. And then I was like, oh, I got the Watson part. He got the Deshaun part. That is very strong. That's a very good joke. I hope that people didn't get that until you explained it, because shame on you. Shame on you, listener.
I know.
All right. Next up, last year's loser. Last year's loser is right back in the cellar. R says, Duncan, team Jarvis Dirty Landry is taking on my team, Le'Veon Belt. Duncan is the lowest scoring team in one of the trio of teams that are 0-2 after being snaked out of a win. And I was finally successful in getting my shit-talking team into a loss. Scored 105. Not a single player got into the end zone for me last week. This week, might actually have a number 1 running back in Gio Bernard. And Duncan is hoping to have Leonard Fortnite back in the mix after missing last week. And it's week 3. And what if I told you I'm not going to shit-talk my team at all?
Dude, I wouldn't shit-talk your team. I wouldn't shit-talk your team at all. Your wide receivers are sexy. Last week, the Chargers allowed 51 points to the Kansas City wide receivers, or 2 weeks ago. And last week, 20.2 points to the fucking Buffalo wide receivers. 20.2 points.
Buffalo doesn't even play with wide receivers. That can't be possible.
20.2 points to a team whose best wide receiver is Kelvin Benjamin. You have two of the three wide receivers of one of the best offenses in the league going against what's supposed to be a really good secondary that's just not stepping up at all. You were going to be fine. Like, as much as I don't really I'm not super stoked on your running backs. Like, Detroit's run defense is awful, so I think Sunroom Michelle might be okay there. And I think your wide receivers are going to be so good this week that it's not even going to make a difference. I love my Chargers, but I'm shitting on their secondary. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, I really like this matchup. I'm surprised as much as you are that San Diego's secondary is not good. And, I mean, New Orleans' secondary is bad again, which is just great news for Julio. I really, really hope he has a big week at home, because last week was yardage-wise, fantasy-wise, pretty disappointing, but I was very surprised. I don't know if Jordan told anybody, but I had shit-talked the Falcons so much that when I saw they were -6, I think it was, to Carolina, I convinced Jordan to put, I think it was like $20 down on that game. And I guess Carolina almost pulled off the backdoor cover, but it was pretty sketchy in there for a while. Shit-talked my team almost into a loss. I guess I shit-talked Jordan out of money for being so down on my team. But, man, I'm feeling really good. I guess not so good that I kind of have to start two heads of a three-headed monster with New England, but I really like James White. I think New England's offense runs a lot better when he's in there catching the ball, and I really liked how Sony Michel was used last week as a runner. He didn't run very well against Jacksonville, but 10 carries for a guy coming off of a knee injury who wasn't around in the preseason, I think that is just signs of a lot better things to come for him.
I mean, that running back situation, I feel like, is exactly the same as the wide receiver situation. Like, James White and Sonny Michel are playing against Detroit, who is just, their defense is looking so bad. It's surprising. I'm excited to watch that game with the defensive strategy with Patricia coming in against New England, but I don't think that run defense is going to put anything up, any kind of fight up against those two running backs.
Yeah, I'm really liking that as well. The only thing that I think might hurt me now is that I have is what I'm calling a plethora of mediocrity in Sony Michel, James White, Randall Cobb, Marlon Mack, and Jamal Williams are all guys that, like, should put up pretty decent numbers, and, you know, maybe here and there are like a flex play, like if there were buys or something like that, like I'd be pretty set. Like, I've got that good depth, but I've got plenty of depth. It's just not necessarily good depth, where Jamal Williams might fall back to a number two. Marlon Mack is in a running back by committee, and Randall Cobb just kind of depends on how Aaron Rodgers is feeling that way. And Geronimo Allison played really good. So, loaded with depth, it's just not necessarily good depth, but I think this week I've got a really strong team.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. And then I guess moving on to Duncan, he's like, just thinking about, like, you know, what we were saying about your wide receivers and your running back. I was looking at his team. Actually, let me pull up his team real fast. I was looking at his team, and like, initially I thought his wideouts looked a lot worse than they were, but they're actually having a pretty good season. Like, Lockett's had two good games. Funchess had 7 receptions for 77 yards. He's the third most likely guy on that team to score a touchdown after McCaffrey and Newton.
Yeah.
And like, what Brandon talked about last week, like, Newton might be the most CTE in the NFL, and last week's hit just isn't helping him at all. So I'd be, you know, surprised that he really put his body on the line that much this week. And then Cincinnati's allowed a wide receiver touchdown in both their previous games. So I think Funchess has a chance to put up numbers. Looking at his team, those two wide receivers on top of Odell Beckham Jr., who I'm going to take a quick second and just point out that in the past two games, Keenan Allen has done better than Odell Beckham Jr. both times.
That is very big for you, because at the draft, when you took Keenan over Odell, a lot of people thought, oh, there goes Andrew as the San Diego homer taking his San Diego players. But that's working out for you, and it's looking kind of smart because that Giants offensive line is so bad that if Eli's not just dumping it out immediately underneath to Odell, like, and Odell's taking one of those, you know, 4-yard slants, 75 yards to the house or whatever, like, he's not getting a lot of action. Had a surprisingly really good week against Jacksonville, but Dallas's pass defense must be something else to be able to hold him to only 4 receptions.
Yeah, paying dividends, man. I like Keenan Allen's playing in a system that I like better. He's playing with a better quarterback. He's, you know, in a very similar system as the number one wide receiver with a really good running back. I'm not upset about that pick. So I'll call y'all. Keenan Allen's better than Odell Beckham Jr. He's going to have a better season. Watch. Just watch.
Wow. Hot take right there.
Hot. The hottest take of my draft. Keenan Allen will end the season better than Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay. Everyone note that down so we can put it into the end of your montage. It is extremely unfair that I have to go against the Vikings defense first off, and then also extremely unfair that the Vikings play Buffalo at home this week. I just think that should be outlawed and not allowed. So as Commissioner Duncan, I'll be editing your roster, and just the Vikings won't play this week, just so you know.
That's fair. Or just swap it. Give him the Buffalo defense against Vikings.
Will he notice?
I don't know. I think it's close enough. Duncan, if you're listening, don't check your lineup.
Or bench everybody, please. Let's do that. But that said, Leonard Fournette being back against Tennessee, I think is going to be really good for him. When he comes back from injuries like he did a couple times last year, he had really big games. I think Odell should be better against Houston's defense. Don't really like Lockett in general, especially if Doug Baldwin plays, but I don't know if Doug Baldwin is going to be healthy or not. That said, I really like my matchup for my team this week. I'm really surprised at how well Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks have both played. I think it's just kind of a weird accident that Cooks hasn't scored yet, and for some reason Jared Goff completely overthrew Woods last week, and he was wide open, and that cost me some points. So I like my team this week. I think I can get the win, and I'm feeling good, which is a weird thing for me about my team.
I like Duncan's team. I agree with a lot of people who said he drafted pretty well. This week, I'm in for Rick. I think it's gonna be close, but I'm pulling for your team. I think we're gonna send Duncan to 0-2 this week.
Nice.
Or 0-3.
0-3. I like it.
0-3.
All right. Last up, Dr. Andrew and your 2-0 team, Melvin Gordon, is taking on Scott's The Blind Side, the Michael Dorr story. Scott lost to number one team last week, leaving Devontae Freeman in his lineup, even though it was announced that he would be out on Thursday, as well as he didn't have a kicker in his lineup due to injury. We're going to be doubling up on this matchup this week. We're going to be hearing from Scott later. Scott is going to talk about your team. You now are going to talk about Scott's team. So walk us through the worries and the not worries of Scott's lineup this week.
All right. Real quickly before I get to that,
okay.
I just want to throw out Fantasy Pros Analysis has ranked me at 9. It ranked Fronik and Duncan at 10 and 11, who are the two teams that I've beaten, and it's ranking Scott at 12. So if I can pull away here, I will be the fourth lowest Fantasy Pros ranked team, and I will be the first, second, and third lowest.
Wow.
Lucky
scheduling to start the year for you.
Really lucky, considering week 5 comes around and I get Ingram back. I'm going to be looking a lot better than I am now.
That is true. Yes. And you've gotten very lucky with Chris Thompson with his 13 receptions last week, which is just stupid good.
Yeah, he's fun. I like him. I like Chris Thompson. Yeah, he's a good time. So I really hope that Freeman doesn't play again this week. I've heard a lot, like, the team is saying day to day, ESPN is saying 1 to 2 more weeks. My fingers are crossed it's at least 1 more week. I'm not sure what the injury is. I don't really know what's going on with him.
His knee.
It's knee?
Knee, yeah.
Oh, that's not looking good. Yeah, that's gonna have to be another 4 or 5 weeks. So Scott, don't even bother like reading any news. Just go ahead and keep him on your bench and hope that he doesn't play. Or no, fuck no, keep him on your roster.
Yeah, there you go. The starting lineup. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. I'm on fall break. I've been drinking. What are you gonna do? So let's see. If he had to start I don't know, Chris Carson or Crowell up to number one, that'd be fun for me. I'd really like if you had to throw in like Jordy or John Brown in his flex. That'd be, again, really fun. His top three wide receivers look pretty fun for him. I like DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Marvin Jones. Like, that's just, you know, good core wide receivers. Three top 20 guys. But overall, I'm not sold on his running backs, especially if Freeman's out. I don't think Lynch is anywhere near where he used to be. Ebron, that team is trash. And I don't know, Goff's going to be playing a really, really good defense this week, so we're going to probably shut him down. I don't know. I think I have a really good chance of winning. I really do. I think my running backs are better. I think my wide receiving core is good. It's fairly comparable if everyone can perform. Allen Robinson is turning into like the number one guy in Chicago.
Yeah, that was a huge pickup for them.
That's really awesome. I am really excited about that. Allen Robinson's like the number one guy in Chicago, and Anunoby was the number one guy in New York. So I have two wide receivers on trash teams, but they're good wide receivers on those trash teams.
Right.
To have. Thompson's been awesome. I'm going to be getting a new defense, so, you know, not playing Chargers against the Rams this week. So I think my team is looking a lot better than Scott's team.
Yeah. I put Scott, the thing to worry about is his wide receivers. Because when DeAndre and Stephon are on lookout and Marvin Jones is very able to get into the end zone in a passing attack in Detroit where Stafford really spreads the ball around, my not worry about is just Scott in general. If he's not able to set his lineup, like, I don't know. Like, it's lucky that he's got Chris Carson, and Chris Carson is apparently going to be the true number one in Seattle. But, again, that's an offensive line that is really, really bad. And Dallas is deep. They're just not good. So,
oh my goodness.
If worse things come to worse, like he plays Chris Carson and Isaiah Crowell up there at his flex and running back spot or something like that, maybe you trust Josh Doctson or something like that. Also, John Brown, as we'll get to in a little bit, put up the exact number of points he needed to beat Tim, and he left him on his bench. So,
oh no.
Yeah, my big worry is his wide receivers. My not-so-worry is that Scott maybe doesn't play them. Maybe he forgets to pick up a kicker or something like that, because Zuerlein's going to be out for a couple weeks.
Yeah. My big concern with my team is, if the Bears are up huge against the Cardinals, like, they might stop throwing to Robinson. They might stop passing. The Browns' defense is looking pretty good, so it might stop Anunoby's productivity. I'm leaving Corey Davis on my bench against Jacksonville. There's a couple, like, situationally things could happen. Guys could just be, like, a team could be doing well and not need to utilize who I have.
Right.
Whereas they would need to utilize who Scott has. And on the same page, like, if Minnesota's up, like, a million to nothing against Buffalo, they'll run it with Dalvin and they won't be throwing to Stephon. So it kind of goes two ways.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're gonna be throwing to Stephon a lot early, and then they're going to end up going to Dalvin Cook. So he's going to have to be productive in a late game and still have it be close enough where you're keeping the starters in, but enough of a lead where a team doesn't really want to rub it in and, you know, still have to throw the ball.
Should I throw in Murray in this game?
No.
Fair.
Chris Thompson is going to be used in the passing game because I think Washington is going to fall behind in Green Bay, and you're going to need those PPR points.
Okay.
That's right. That's just me.
Good move.
Okay.
Yeah, just real just a little fleeting thought, like, oh, you know, whisper.
So who are you taking this week? I'm going to wait until, spoiler alert, we're recording this on Tuesday night. I'm going to record with Scott tomorrow, but when you're hearing this, it'll be Wednesday, and tomorrow will be today. So I'll be giving my pick tomorrow/today later on. Who are you? I'm guessing you're taking yourself this week.
I am confidently taking myself this week.
All right.
I'm going 3-0 in the first couple weeks that I was most vulnerable without Mark Ingram.
That is true. You have plenty of reasons to feel very confident about your team.
I'm really stoked on it.
Yeah, very, very lucky for you. Very strong team as well. I like just you you and Tim both kind of have a set it and forget it. And also your drafting to be able to pick up like your handcuff guys in the draft was extremely smart of you.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, worst draft. Worst draft. Don't fucking forget that.
Now, the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
That goes to us for saying Andrew was going to had the worst draft. Just kind of retroactively. But that does...
It's early. It's so early.
You are 2-0, though, so like it means something.
Dalvin Cook hasn't really done... I mean, I've played the 11th and 12th, or 10th and 11th ranked teams. So it's like the Rams last year, where everyone's like, oh, the Rams are the best team in the league. Like, they're so good. And they played a really good team like Philadelphia, and they played a really good team like Minnesota, and they just got fucking murdered. They got absolutely destroyed.
Oh, boy. So is this week, could this possibly be your Minnesota or Philadelphia?
Against Scott? No.
Okay.
No. Tim, maybe. Scott? No, I'm all right.
All right. Okay, so now two segments. Speaking of JoJo's of the week, we have our first official Super JoJo of the week to hand out.
Now, the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
That, of course, we alluded to it. It goes to Scott. It was announced officially on Friday, but it was pretty much officially known on Thursday that Devonta Freeman wasn't going to play, and Scott kept him in his lineup. Could have easily moved in as Isaiah Crowell to his RB2, played anybody else at his flex spot and gotten more points, just any sort of production. But it's just completely inexcusable mistake to make. Having two zeros in your lineup, one of them was a game time injury, so really only 1-0. But you lost by 17 when you had 17.2 or 17.4 points on his bench from John Brown. When you lost by 17, it is more than deserving for the JoJo of the week. Congrats, Scott, on winning this award.
Now, the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
Great, great award.
Yeah.
Well done.
So what are your segments? I know you're very angry at Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so I'll switch my segments. I was going to do one first and then one second, but since you brought that up, Aaron Payne in my arse is going to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. All of them. Fuck them, Brandon. I'm with you. Fuck the Kansas City Chiefs. Fuck Patty Mahomes. That is not a team I want in the AFC West. That is not a team I want to play against in fantasy football. Aaron, pain in my arse, goes to Patrick Mahomes and the entire Kansas City Chiefs.
Understandable.
Hate them. Hate them, hate them, hate them.
And your other segment.
Other segment. It went pretty well last year because you made some awful, awful moves. So we're going to do it again. We're going to go rapid fire for real or for real.
Oh, yes. Okay, here we go. I'm ready.
All right. I have six of them.
Ooh, okay.
All right. We'll start right now.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes.
For real.
Quincy Enunwa.
For real.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh. For real enough that I think he keeps the job after Jameis's suspension, for real enough where I think he is going to come crashing back down to earth at some point.
He's going to remind everyone who Ryan Fitzpatrick is.
He will regress back to the mean that is Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is like one touchdown, two interceptions a game.
Give me a Case Keenum kind of situation.
Like Case Keenum in Denver now or Case Keenum last year?
Case Keenum last year, then going to Denver. Or how about Nick Foles? Nick Foles at the end of last year to this year.
I would say something Nick, more like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, right. It still is Nick Foles.
Yes.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
For real.
Totally fair, yes.
He's just so average.
Not this year, buddy.
I don't know. Like, meh? Like, he's going to have his for real moments, and he's going to have his Pharrell moments. I think, like, the Chargers, I think, are for real. Like, they have a very well-balanced team. Fantasy-wise, I don't know how I feel about the performance that Felipe Rios can put in.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
I'll hedge my bet. I'll cut my losses somewhere.
Sure.
Last one. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Adriel Jeremiah Green.
He's not five catches for three touchdowns for real. But I think Randy Dalton might have figured it out that, hey, I've got an all-pro type receiver on my team. I should probably throw it to him in different situations more.
Okay. You know what? We're going to throw in one more. We're going to throw in a little redemption, okay?
Okay.
Deshaun Watson.
Boy, this is tough. Because I'm taking him on this week. He had a really good week last week against Tennessee. He struggled against New England. The Giants' defense, pretty solid against quarterbacks, but they haven't taken on any good quarterbacks. I'm going to go back on what I said last year. I'm going to say Watson is for real.
You think Watson's for real?
Yes.
All right. Put that in the archives. We'll revisit. We'll come back to it. As we did last year.
There's just no way I can be as bad as I was last year. There's just no way.
I think your picks are pretty solid this year.
Yeah.
I agreed with a lot of them.
Okay. I was thinking more long-term and trying not to make myself sound like an ass. In ours. Pardon me.
Yeah, watch your language.
Okay. So does that bring us to injury talk time with Dr. Andrew, or do you have anything else for me?
I think it does. I didn't know who gives out the... Okay, you mentioned an award last week.
Right.
I was watching the game last night. I had already won, so I was following. Closest game that I could find was good friend Jordan Archer against Duncan Bayerjohn.
Correct.
A specific award. Is that your award to give out, or is that someone else's award to give out?
No, that is it's like a segment. It's just an award anyone can give away. I kind of alluded to it in Duncan's intro where I said he was snaked away from a win. But yeah, absolutely. The Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week goes to Jordan for getting the win because of a pick six. So
yeah, I was originally going to award it. Oh, we're awarding it to each other or to individual? I thought it went to players. I was going to give it to Tyler Lockett for Duncan, and then I was like, psych, that's going to Prince Amukamara. Does it just go to Jordan in general?
So it can go to, like, a player if you, like, have a number one back and all of a sudden the backup guy is getting all the touches at the goal line. He's snaking away my touchdowns. He's snaking away my points. It can also go to a team who out of nowhere comes away with a win when really they shouldn't have. Like, last week, Scott put up 67 points in the two Monday night games. And just yesterday, Jordan comes away with a win because of a pick six by the Bears after Tyler Lockett had just scored a touchdown that put him in the league. So it's a double snake, basically.
It was Prince Amukamara snaked it for Jordan away from Tyler Lockett for Duncan.
Yeah, so that does make Prince Amukamara the Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week then, doesn't it?
I'm going to give it to Prince Amukamara.
Okay.
The Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week Award. Congratulations, Prince. You'll be getting your award in the mail in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so Scott, when you get yours in a couple weeks, you have to ship it to Prince Amukamara. Please spell his name correctly. And then also somebody figure out how to contact Prince Amukamara if we have to give that to somebody else for week four.
Just
a heads
put
up.
Put it in there. Just give him a list of people, list of our addresses, and say further correspondence is required.
Right, exactly.
We'll be in touch.
So does this now bring us to injury talk?
Sure does.
All right. Injury Talk with Dr. Andrew. He's a real-life doctor. He has a real-life stethoscope. He's here to talk to us about all the important injuries revolving around your fantasy team. That's right, your team. We begin with Aaron Rodgers. His left leg bent sideways in a way that legs should not bend. In his post-game press conference, he sounded and looked higher than a kite after he had just thrown for 250 yards and 3 touchdowns in that half. He was able to play last week with a brace on. So questions about the knee, what are ligaments most lifelike, and what are the long-term concerns with having a leg that can bend sideways like that?
All right. So ligaments and like most tissues in the body are really a lot like Laffy Taffy or like Play-Doh or something. They exhibit what's called the creep mechanism, where if you slowly apply pressure or force to it, they stretch. They stretch really well, and they're very flexible. But when you like rip it really quickly, like if you just rip Play-Doh, it would rip. So if like too much force is applied in a short amount of time, that is what causes ligaments to tear. Also, if you bend your knee in a way that shouldn't be bent, that will cause your ligaments to tear. That being said, I've been reading up a lot about the Aaron Rodgers injury. I've been following it pretty closely. It's got huge fantasy implications. It actually seems a little bit more complicated than just his knee bending in a weird way. So it sounds like he has, it sounds like he has what's called favism. So favism is a rare enzymatic deficiency that it's an allergy to fava beans, and it causes your red blood cells to explode.
Whoa.
So, right? So when your red blood cells explode, there's less oxygen getting delivered to the tissues of the knee because red blood cells carry oxygen, and those tissues might become weak, and they might tear more easily under forces that wouldn't necessarily tear them in the first place. Watching that Aaron Rodgers injury, it doesn't look like a kind of force that would tear a ligament. So I know this is a stretch, but we can't guarantee that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have favism, and we can't guarantee that he didn't eat fava beans before the game. So, for fantasy implications, Aaron Rodgers is a must start every week when you can be absolutely certain that he didn't eat fava beans before the game. Otherwise, go ahead and keep him on your bench.
Wow, that's so interesting, because fava beans are super popular. Like, to me, they're a number five bean. It's right behind black, refried, pinto, and jelly. Like, fava beans are right there at five. Is this, like, super common? Like, is this something that, you know, the Packers are absolutely worried about, or?
Very, very rare. Very rare. And most dishes in America do not include fava beans, which is why it doesn't always happen to Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Probably ate fava beans. You said it's top five of yours?
Yeah. Should I stop eating fava beans?
Well, if you've eaten fava beans and your red blood cells haven't exploded.
Well, what does that look like? Like, do I, like, just start exploding or, like, falling apart a little bit?
Have you ever injured your knee?
No, because I don't do anything athletic ever.
Keep on eating fava beans.
Awesome. That's great news.
Mike did some bean facts, or some bee facts. Do you want some bean facts?
Oh, hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, let's do some bean facts.
It's a learning podcast, right?
It sure is. According to Wikipedia, the peanut is not a nut. It is a bean.
Whoa. So what is peanut butter? Does that make peanut butter like an acceptable substitute for burritos?
Bean dip.
Whoa. Which,
bean dip is my number two favorite bean dish. We got black beans, bean dip, chili, red beans and rice, and hummus.
Huh. Very interesting.
Yeah. So peanut butter, bean dip, dip your chips into it. Bean fact number one.
That makes sense to me.
You got three bean facts. You got bean fact number two.
Oh, boy.
Myanmar is the number one dry bean producer in the world.
Dry beans? I'd never even considered dry beans.
Who? No one buys dry beans when there's canned beans.
Of course.
Why would you?
They're fresher in metal.
Yeah. They can give you botulism, but they're easier.
And third fact.
Third fact. Pythagoras of the Pythagorean theorem.
The triangle guy.
Yeah. Is thought to have had fauvism, which makes sense. When you think about what the Pythagorean theorem actually means, is A, fava bean squared, plus be careful about eating fava beans squared, equals C, your red blood cells explode squared.
That's an incredible fact.
Bean facts. These bean facts have been brought to you by the newly renovated Bean West, featuring a shared kitchen space, two ADA-compliant sidewalks, and fewer couches. According to UO Student Housing, students will no longer frown when they get assigned bean.
Wow, thank you.
Facts.
Thank you, Bean West, for those bean facts. That brings us to our next injury, LeSean McCoy. His injury is that he has cracked rib cartilage. And from what I know about ribs, is that they're at their best when slow cooked, 325, 350 degrees, about 6 hours, a good dry rub, plenty of salt, cumin, a lot of flavors in there, pepper, of course. Human ribs, then, not really my thing, not into cooking them or breaking them or whatever. What can go wrong with cracked ribs, and what necessarily is the difference between a crack and a break?
Lucky for you, I'm not only the league med student, I'm also the league Jew. So I don't know about eating ribs either. There are two possibilities when someone has a cracked rib. First, the bone itself could have a fracture, so that's a broken rib. Or the cartilage that connects the bone, the rib bone to the sternum, could have a crack itself. So not a broken rib, but a crack in the actual cartilage that connects it to it. LeSean is a crack in the cartilage that connects the rib bone to the sternum. He's had this injury before, and it hasn't sidelined him for very long. But the recurrence of this injury makes me think he has a very rare inflammatory condition called relapsing polychondritis. It's defined by recurrent bouts of inflammation of the costal cartilage, and that doesn't really explain the crack in the cartilage. That's probably from playing football. But it does seem a little odd to me that this happened to him before, and that leads me to believe that he does, in fact, suffer from this very rare condition. That being said, it shouldn't keep him out for too long. I'd expect him to miss no longer than like 1 to 2 weeks, if any time at all.
Oh my goodness. So do you grow healthy cartilage by drinking milk to build strong bones? Like, should LeSean McCoy just start chugging as much milk as he possibly can as quickly as he can?
No. So the big thing is that, that milk will help you build bones. This is cartilage. Cartilage is not bone, and it's a genetic deficiency, so there's really nothing he can do, and I'm not too familiar with any cures or prognosis because it is, in fact, very rare.
Wow. So the worry level must be very high then.
Oh, extremely high, yeah. I would, because of this condition, I would highly recommend keeping LeSean McCoy on your bench this week.
Wow. Okay, so that moves us next to Melvin Gordon. He suffered an upper body injury in the fourth quarter. So this is a very hockey kind of way to announce an injury where you just say X player is hurt and it's an upper or a lower body injury. I mean, what are the extent that an upper body injury could be, and when does it become a lower body injury, taking into mind the middle of the body?
So in a post-game interview, it's a good question. Post-game interview, Anthony Lynn went even further. Further into like ambiguity to say that he was simply sore and fatigued. So,
oh my, that could be anything. That could be anything.
It could. It's really important that we don't rule out anything in Melvin's case.
Oh God.
So there's a diagnosis that I'm familiar with. Spending 5 weeks in medical school at a school that teaches us real diseases that people can suffer. And, feeling tired, like Anthony Lynn described, and weakness. Those are all like symptoms that can fall under this disease. And another hallmark is sore arms and legs. And that goes on to really answer that question about when an upper body injury becomes a lower body injury. So when your arms are sore, in the medical community, we call this an upper body injury. And
right.
when your legs are sore, this is what we refer to as a lower body injury.
That makes a lot of sense.
So that if that kind of helps, you know, break things up a little bit.
Hold on. I'm sitting down currently, and my arms are below my legs, like my hands. So like it is, and when I kind of stand up, my hands will be below where my legs start. So if my hands are hurting and they're sore, is that an upper or a lower body injury?
Hands will always be upper body.
So it's what you're connected to.
Yeah.
The hand bone's always connected to the arm bone, connected to the shoulder bone, connected to the sternum.
Right. So if you're really messed up and your hand bone's connected to your leg bone, then we'll have to call in a specialist. But generally, when your arms are sore, upper body. When your legs are sore, lower body.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So we take Melvin Gordon's case, and with the combination of a sore upper body, weakness, and feeling tired, I can pretty confidently diagnose Melvin Gordon with scurvy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be very common. I mean, nobody eats fruits or vegetables anymore. Like, how do you get past this? This must happen to everybody all the time.
No, it's very rare.
Oh, okay.
Scurvy is very rare. All you need to do is have a little bit of vitamin C. So you can have a little bit of fruit or a little bit of vegetable. So we really have to come back to Melvin Gordon's diet and sit down with him and discuss, Melvin, what are we eating? We eating any fruits? We eating any vegetables? No, you probably have scurvy.
Wow. That makes so much sense. You just can't find fruits or vegetables in Southern California.
It's very difficult, especially with the rigorous lifestyle that he, you know, is part of. Needing to eat so much protein, he's probably eating a lot of rice and beans, which you would assume he doesn't have favism. So he must have scurvy.
Oh my gosh. You've connected those dots. They make so much sense.
That's what I'm here for.
Wow. Next up then, Joe Mixon. He had arthroscopic surgery on his knee to get a periscope removed. It's rumored to be about a 2-week long recovery. How should Mixon feel coming back from this surgery, knowing that someone was inside his body running a periscope broadcast?
All right. So Joe Mixon is out for 2 to 4 weeks with a small particle that was taken out of his knee. Apparently, this small particle, I guess, was from a previous injury. And when he was in the game last week, it got dislodged. Either a cut he made or a tackle he took. I haven't personally watched the Periscope broadcast yet. So I haven't seen what the particle looks like. But I do have a pretty good idea what it could be. Just from what I've learned, is that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services estimates that a surgical tool is left behind anywhere between 1 in 100 and 1 in 5,000 surgeries. And a 2008 study by the Annals of Surgery Journal estimates that mistakes in tool and sponge count happen in up to 12.5% of surgeries.
Wow.
Which when I looked these numbers up, not ironically, I was really surprised at how often that happens.
Those are big numbers.
It's a lot of times.
Like, do they not realize how many, like, cases there are between 100 and 5,000? Like, that is a huge margin of error to be like, it's pretty low.
What surprises me isn't the one in 5,000. It's that it might happen in 12.5% of surgeries. That's like, I think that's 1 in 8. I think the Annals of Surgery Journal estimates that 1 in 8...
Is that just at one hospital? Like, should we never go to that hospital ever again? Or are surgeons horrible at their job?
I haven't read the article, but I am avoiding surgery at all costs now. But with those numbers and those odds, it's probably like really likely that like a pair of tweezers or a sponge or something got dislodged, and that's what they had to remove, is like a scalpel from his knee.
Ugh. So probably a good sign that Luke has Joe Mixer on his bench this week then.
If I was Joe Mixer, I would stay on your bench out 2 to 4 weeks at a minimum. Arthroscopic surgery is easy to come back from, but it takes a while, especially when you're removing a sponge.
Wow, that's just incredible. 12% chance of that happening. That's just such a high number. So last one here, not sure about the rules about client-doctor privilege or if they're looser or tougher than the privileges that we have with our attorney, but I have some sources telling me that the news of Josh Gordon's trade from the Cleveland Browns to the New England Patriots has put one of the league's members into a changed state that now has got to be quite worrisome 30 hours after the fact. What can you speak on about this topic?
Yeah, so... this one is actually very concerning news, and ESPN and the New England Journal of Medicine have recently reported that up to 69% of Josh Gordon owners are now suffering some very serious medical side effects after the news of his trade. As we know very well from watching football and being gentlemen, an erection lasting longer than 4 hours is very concerning. So one lasting almost 30 is about 7.5 times more concerning. So consequences of what's called a prolonged Josh Gordon-induced erection can include death to penile cells, penile scar tissue, and permanent erectile dysfunction. According to Omaha urologist Michael Felony, it could be the last erection you ever have if you don't get help right away. The medical community is urgently calling all girlfriends, wives, and side chicks of Josh Gordon owners to please relieve your loved one as soon as possible. The general consensus among my organization, the First Year American Physician Students, or FAPS, suggests any form of erectile relief that's known to quickly diminish the unrelenting swelling of your partner's 30-hour erection. As an educated member of FAPS, I'm genuinely concerned about my dear friend Pip and offer my support in any way possible. I'll be starting the hashtag pray for Pip's peen in order to help raise awareness for those affected by prolonged Josh Gordon-induced erections. Hashtag please pray for Pip's peen.
Wow, that is some very troubling statistics. That is quite the problem and quite a serious issue. I really hate to end this half of the pod on such a down note like that, but thank you very much, Dr. Andrew, for coming on. I greatly appreciate all of this information that you've handed out tonight.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak about fantasy football and to also raise awareness in such a public forum about the issues that are affecting 69% of Josh Gordon owners around the country.
Yeah, it is very important that we solve that problem. Thank you very much, Dr. Stone. Good luck in your matchup this week.
All right. Thank you. You too. Have a great night.
Scott.
We now welcome onto the pod the man without a plan, the guy who had the number one running back and wide receiver on his team last year and then escaped with an 11th place finish, I should say. Wow, I'm off to a great start. He's the blind side, the Michael Dore story. Scott, welcome to the pod.
Hey, Rick. Feels good to be back on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. We need to talk about last week, though. Andrew and I have talked about it already, but you left Devontae Freeman on your starting roster when he was listed out. What the hell happened?
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about it, but I don't know. I forgot to check. I was going to check that morning, and then I got preoccupied with some stuff I had to do, so just forgot. But yeah, it would have been great if I could start John Brown. So, I took him out this week though, so I'm ready.
That is true.
He'll probably play this week. when I have him on my bench.
Yeah, that would be very on brand of you to have that happen. But I mean, you seem more prepared this week. Are you finally, like, you're full on invested in your team now after 2 weeks?
I was invested the first week, okay. I might have slipped the second week, but I'm back. I was hoping it wasn't really going to matter. Tim was going to blow me out of the water, but obviously it was a bit closer than that. I could have been saved with a few roster moves. But even then, who's to say I was really going to start John Brown to get the points I needed, you know? And my kicker was out, so I also am officially against kickers in the league now. That Greg Zuerlein has heard.
Okay, so he's off the kicker bandwagon. You heard it here first. Let's get to these matchups. We're going to start with Jared. He is a surprising 0-2 on the season for his team, Keenan Allen Wrench. He's taking on Luke, Team Drew Febreze. Really unlucky for Jared. Had the second highest score in the league. Just happened to play the team with the number one score. And Luke is 1-1 after a surprising loss to Brandon last week. And Luke, speaking of kickers, big-time waiver wire spender on Dan Bailey, all of his two Bahubucks. Jared has DeSean Jackson on his bench again after back-to-back weeks with a touchdown and 20-plus points. Do you think Ryan Fitzmagic has proved enough to show that Jackson might be worth a start for Jared?
Absolutely. I mean, I picked up Fitzmagic just in case he stays hot like he has been. You must have read my notes because I have all the same things. It's weird that he's not starting DeSean Jackson. Obviously, he likes his guys that he has in there a little bit better, but I don't think you can skip one more week of DeSean Jackson. How do you feel about Fitzmagic?
I'm not buying into his hype that he's going to be like this all year. Like, I think he's going to turn back into regular Fitzmagic at some point, but I think he's going to hold the starting job for a couple more weeks after Jameis is back, especially if they beat the Steelers. Like, if Tampa's 3-0 going into week four, Dirk Cotter should be fired if he just goes with Jameis Winston because he's the franchise quarterback and you start him there.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I would probably start him over Aguilar. T.Y. and Demaryius are two guys you probably want in, but yeah, I'm super surprised by Jared's team. He's just run into some hot teams, I think. And with Luke, I mean, he scraped by that first week, and then it was unlucky that Brandon's team went off against him last week. Also, you didn't mention that Jared added Tavon Austin, who is now listed as a running back. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's running back, comma wide receiver for all, I guess, one carry that he has on the season. Or I guess he's got two carries, one of them for 1 yard, the other for 15. But he's definitely still a wide receiver. Like, there's no way the Cowboys are actually going to run the ball with him other than, like, the occasional, like, end around or something.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you wanted to start him over Zeke, he could, the running back. Whenever I see Tavon Austin, I think of Austin Pilcher. And that's why Tavon Austin is the OCPD lock of the week. He's real fast.
I don't know about that. I really don't think he was even worth the ad, let alone a start. But, I mean, player of the week, all right, watch out for Tavon Austin. Also, stick him on the Warren Moon sleeper of the week watch list as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Luke's team, he's in kind of a similar position as me. He has to start a Jets running back. Same boat, and it's a sinking boat, let me tell you what. Not happy about starting a running back from the Jets myself. I see below Powell's got a lot of action on the early downs, but I am confident Crowell will get some goal line carries. I think it's dependent on George Kittle. Or you call him George Kittle Hawk, North Carolina, because this offense is about to take flight, I think, with Jimmy G. So if Kittle does well, I think Luke might be able to pull this one out against a unlucky Jared team.
Yeah, I think having to go with Buck 50 Bilal Paul, probably not ideal for Luke. I think Luke is also going to win this one, but in a close one, mostly because I don't like Carlos Hyde this week against that Jets defense who have given up like just over 100 yards on the year. I would play Jackson over Hyde and just have this matchup be one with four wide receivers, because Cooper Kupp's going to get some good points. Devontae's going to get a ton of receptions. Juju is going to get a ton of yards, and then Chris Hoken's probably going to find his way into the end zone one way or another. So I think Jared should try and match four wide receivers. I think he should go with Deshaun with a big game against a bad Pittsburgh secondary. But that's just me. So yeah, I think we're both on the same page here with Luke getting the win.
Huh. Interesting. What about that?
Interesting. Next up, back-to-back matchups of undefeated teams between Pip and Mike. This is, of course, Brett Favrecue taking on the newly named Mohandmid Sanutizer. Pip beat me last week, most of his team getting into the end zone, a huge week from Travis Kelce as well. And Mike stayed unbeaten, putting up the highest score in the league with 69 points between Big Ben and Toad Gurley. I know you're not going to like to hear this, Scott, but Mike's team is very much not soft.
Yeah, you know I don't like to hear that. Hate it, actually. I'm pretty jealous Toe Gurley is on his team since I missed him from my team last year. He's obviously using him a little bit better than I was able to. It's also interesting that he has Ben, and obviously Pip is playing AB, so that might reduce the effectiveness of Big Ben. Plus, I hate Steelers, so disgusting matchup all around for me in this one.
Yeah, it's Big Ben's not going to go for almost 40 every week, but Toad Gurley is looking like he was the right choice at number one. Mike Evans has had a great couple weeks, Landry as well. Even Crabtree's been decent, and Jared Cook, the best hands on the Oakland Raiders, probably the best Raider in Raider history. Has just
I
been
think we
a monster.
That, yeah.
Yeah, he's just been a monster at tight end. That's really just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And Tevin Coleman, obviously, learned that lesson the hard way last week. He's the guy in Atlanta right now. So, I mean, Mike's team is pretty decent. Of course, Pip's got a good team, too. I see he's stashing two defenses this week. That's a trick out of my book, I think. Not sure why he's holding on to Seahawks, but he must have his reasons.
I think Seattle plays Arizona next week after they take on Dallas, so I would guess that even the Seahawks defense with what they did against Chicago should be able to just destroy the Cardinals. So I think people are starting to add defenses based on when they play the Bills and if they play the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever works. Is Josh Brown going to be out for a couple more weeks, right, with that hamstring injury?
You mean Josh Gordon?
Yeah, what did I say?
You said Josh Brown.
Josh Brown? Is Antonio Gordon going to play this week?
Antonio Gordon was present for practice on Wednesday. That is the latest update from the ESPN. So I have a lot of questions about Gordon because I think – over the course of the season and probably starting next week, like he's going to have a much bigger impact. I don't know if necessarily the Patriots are going to put him on a snap count or a snap limit, or depends on how much of the playbook that Gordon knows. But I don't know if he's going to have, I mean, he could have a very similar like one or two catch week like he had against Pittsburgh. Also depends on how healthy he is. So it's kind of a risky play for me, or for Pip, I think, to have him as his wide receiver too. I think it would be, I mean, if he had the depth to be able to play him at flex, but I don't really think he wants to play any of his other receivers. Like Mike Williams against the Rams defense is not going to be a good matchup. Same with Rishard Matthews against Jacksonville. He's only got two receptions on the year, so Devontae Parker is still kind of questionable, so I think Pip kind of has to play Josh Gordon. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, because that's going to be the difference in this matchup, is how big of an impact that Josh Gordon has.
Yeah, Pitt's team is still number one in the league in fun and watchability just because Gordon on the Patriots. That's such a huge, exciting move. Sucks if you don't like the Patriots, but it's good for Pitt once Gordon eventually gets in. And Kelce and Brown obviously always put up numbers. James Conner has been good.
Very good.
Although, if you ask me, a lot of people are saying that it might not be good for Pitt when Lev comes back because Conner might not get as many touches. But I think that's the best thing that can happen because that means he gets room in his lineup for Willie Snead the fourth, the need for Snead. And if he has to play Snead, that's the best thing that can happen for him, I think.
Yeah, I'm also surprised that Pip isn't playing Austin. He's basically Melvin Gordon Eckler over Deion Lewis against that Jacksonville defense, because also Pip is starting the Jacksonville defense. So I don't know. Just a couple question marks in Pip's team. But really something that we didn't talk about was McCoy's injury for Buffalo. I just all around do not think that that's going to be a good play, just McCoy being hurt and taking on a really tough defense with Buffalo being just trash, essentially, which means he's going to play Coleman at his RB2, and then he doesn't really have a flex to go with. He could go with Jack Doyle, but you don't really want to run with the two tight end train. So if...
Oh, you know why.
Yeah, tell us how that goes.
It went well for me the first year, not so good last year.
So it's an every other year thing. So someone's got to start running with the two tight end train.
Yeah, the year.
That's true. Someone's got to hop on that.
Yeah, somebody has to.
So I'm pretty down on McCoy, just in kind of the Bills in general. And I think, I don't know, it's going to be a really tight one. I think Pip goes to 3-0. I think that Connor and Brown connection on Monday night is going to have a big impact. Run CMC against Cincinnati should be a good play as well. I'm going to go with Pip going to 3-0.
Yep, I'm right there with you again. Not to be a copycat, but obviously for obvious reasons, I have to root against Mike. So I think Big Ben goes down with a season-ending injury. Shady doesn't play. Tampa gets shut out by the Steelers. I think Pitt comes away with this one.
All right. Next up, we have an early award to give out. It is our Smelly Poop Team of the Week from Week 2.
Play it.
Smelly poop, smelly poop, smelly poop. Smelly, smelly, smelly poop. Smelly, 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 smelly. Smelly poop, smelly poop, smelly poop. Smelly poop. S-M-E-L-L-Y-P-O-O-P. Smelly poop.
Smelly poop. That goes to Jerry Rice Cube Trays. He put up a league-low 92 points, minus 2 from his defense, 5 players under 9 points. Congrats on the Smelly Poop Team of the Week award. Fronik, he gets to take on Jordan, who Andrew and I already awarded him and Prince Mukamara the Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week award, as Prince Mukamara sealed the Bears and Jordan's win against Duncan with a pick 6, giving Jordan a 0.7 point win. The two award winners are taking each other on in Week 3, and we have to ask, are things really going to get any better, or can things get any worse for Fronik at this point?
Well, you know what they say, the highest of highs comes to lowest of lows, and he's definitely feeling that so far this season. And to go off the snake thing, big snake move by Jordan there, and even bigger snake move by Jordan taking Sam Ficken from me, or as I call him, Sam Fucking, the backup for the great late Greg Zuerlein.
Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
How much longer do you think Le'Veon is going to be out? Because the Steelers are treating this very much like Le'Veon. He's not even on their roster. He hasn't reported. He hasn't signed a contract. Like, people, a lot of people are saying, like, for some reason, he's going to wait 11 weeks of the year and show up to you know, take on Jacksonville, Denver, like sometime week 11 or 12? Like, what, how much longer is this going to last? And it, like, at what point do the Steelers just say, no matter what, when Le'Veon comes back, like, he's going to be the number two? He has to work his way back to the top of the depth chart.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole situation in Pittsburgh is kind of out of control. Even with that whole, like, Antonio Brown tweet about go ahead and trade me type thing. Connor obviously can carry the workload all right, so that's good news for Pitt, bad news for Jerry Rice cube trays. I'm not really sure what to make of it. Right now it's not looking like a great pick, but at least he has potential to come back. He's not all the way out, you know?
Right.
And who knows? Maybe they end up trading him or he, I don't know.
Yeah, and the other problem is that Doug Baldwin still is a couple weeks away from playing. Rex Burkhead is got a concussion. He got outplayed by Sony PlayStation Michelle and James White. I don't really know, like, when Fronik's team is going to turn it around as is. Like, maybe Aaron Jones becomes a player and he's a guy he can have as, like, an RB2. It's not looking like a super ideal situation at this point for Fronik's team. And, like, 0-3 is kind of a big hole to climb yourself out of to get back into a playoff spot.
Yeah, doable, but not great. The Baldwin injury is pretty big. He's forced him to start in those two Detroit wideouts right now. So he must know something that we don't know. I'm pretty sure that he thinks Stafford is going to throw for 500 yards and everybody's going to get touchdowns. So if you got a Detroit wide receiver, I'd start him.
Yeah, or, I mean, Stafford might not throw for 500 yards, but he might try to throw it 500 times.
Well, yeah, either way.
And the Pats defense got burned by Blake Bortles, so, I mean, it should mean good things for the Lions.
Well, he's the quote-unquote the best worst quarterback of all time. So, yeah, I think that's kind of a weird move. I might go with another – well, actually, he doesn't really have anybody else on his bench. It's tough when you got Bell and Baldwin taking up spots. And what's the deal with Yeldon? Is he hurt?
Well, Yeldon's going to be a backup again. Like, I mean, Fortnite true. Should be back and playing. So Yeldon, like, you spend all this money on him, like 18 bucks. I mean, at this point, you basically only got him for 1 week and he only put up, you know, a half decent number of points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough look for Fronik. But let's talk about George's team because I don't like that one either. I think it's equally as bad, even though he's 1-1, obviously. I got to root against David Johnson just because I was kind of gypped last year on him. He didn't look that great last week. The Cardinals didn't really look that great. He's got Matt Breida starting this week, which is a dicey move with those 49er running backs. You don't know what is going to go on with that. So, Jordan, if you're listening to this, you should probably start Alfred Morris as well in place of David Johnson just to get the most bang for your buck.
Agreed. Yeah, because sure. David Johnson and the Cardinals are not good. But, well, David Johnson is good, but the rest of the Cardinals are very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I don't know. Also, David Johnson has the longest player update written thing, like blurb about him I've ever seen. It's like four paragraphs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't think I can read all that.
No, you can't. Like, it would take a week. I don't understand how hard it is to say that this guy rushed for, you know, 13 times for 48 yards and basically is behind one of the worst offensive lines in the NFC.
Mm-hmm. They lost me at Arizona head coach. And that's as far as I get. Yeah, that's a long paragraph. Yeah, too bad for Jordan. Can't read, so he won't understand what's going on.
And also, I mean, the Bears, he's got one of those, like, weird double-dip defense things where he's got the Bears defense taking on Arizona, and then starting David Johnson, like the Mac's defense is going to swallow Sam Bradford alive. Like, he's not going to make it out of that game okay. There's no way they don't have Sam Rosen.
Oh, my God, yeah. Khalil Mack is coming for that ass. I'm doing the same thing, though, so I can't really. I'm starting the Dolphins against Marshawn. So, hopefully, what I assume Jordan's hoping for is that David Johnson gets a couple of punches in to the end zone and doesn't burn him for too many yards. And, I mean, you can get a defense score. You can get a defense to score a lot of points just by the quarterback giving up some turnovers. So I'm sure that's what he's going for.
Very true. Who do you have in this one, since you seem to not like either team?
Well, I mean, I can't pick the Smelly Poop winner of the week, so I got Jordan again.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I think Fronik's team just seems all around to be like a level behind at all the positions. Like, Jordan's wide receivers are so strong with Thielen and Thomas. You're very welcome again for him, Jordan. His team is very strong, and if Breida is actually the number one in Santa Clara, he should have a big week as well.
Yes, the Santa Clara 49ers.
Yes.
Not all the positions. Aaron Rodgers is an okay quarterback sometimes.
That is
but,
true.
Pretty much everything else, yeah, kind of scary.
All right, well, that brings us to our final matchup. It's the second time we're going to be talking about this one, as Andrew was just on talking about your team, Scott. In the future, you'll have heard that already, but right now you're hearing it with, or you're going to talk about it without hearing about it, and later you're going to hear about it and then talk about it.
Not talk about it.
You're talking about it now, so you're going to listen to yourself talk about it without knowing what's been talked about. What are your worries and not worries when you look at Andrew's team this week? What scares you the most?
My worries about Andrew's team include pretty much everything, except for maybe the Browns' defense, even though they're playing the Jets. He's got the Felipe to Keenan Allen connection. He's got a pretty decent running back situation if Dalvin Cook plays. I was reading that he was just sidelined last week due to a cramp from the hot weather in Lambeau, which is, I mean, kind of soft if you ask me, but I'm not sure it's really hot ever in Lambeau.
It's the frozen tundra. It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the name. It can't be hot. I think my team will put up a good fight, but besides the defense, and I'm not completely sold on Allen Robinson or Quincy as reliable fantasy players, I think he's got a pretty good team and a chance to go 3-0. Hopefully I start the right players this week. You know, John Brown's in there right now.
I see that. Yeah, Andrew's team, like, his running backs are super strong. Like, Cook is, you know, a very solid number one back. He gets a good number of targets and receptions. Kenyon Drake is very clearly number one in Miami as well, got into the end zone. I do have questions about how Allen Robinson's going to be against Patrick Peterson, because I'm assuming that matchup is going to be kind of who Peterson follows. And also, Mitchell Trubisky doesn't throw the ball to the left side of the field and also throws a lot of interceptions. So that could be a problem. And Quincy Enema, it's just that Thursday night game is going to be so horrible that, like, you're not going to be able to not watch, essentially. And I just have no idea what Sam Darnold is going to do. Because the Browns' pass defense and rushing game is pretty strong, which is, I'm assuming, why Andrew picked up the Browns' D. I don't know what to make of that. I'm not sure it would necessarily be the best play, but considering who Andrew has to work with, I think he does have his strongest lineup out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, his bench isn't too bad either once Mark Ingram comes back, and I saw Moncrief score last week. So, once again, he is carrying that two defense package there. I don't know. You know me, I'm kind of just hoping for the best. So hopefully Dalvin doesn't play. And Philip Rivers has a tough day against the Rams defense, which is kind of scary as well.
That is true. That is going to be a very important matchup for Andrew, because if Felipe, you know, six touchdowns for 2 weeks against two not-so-great defenses, this is going to be a big test for him. How are you feeling about Marshawn Lynch and Isaiah Crowell? You kind of mentioned that you don't like having to start the sinking ship that is the New York Jets running back situation, but, I mean, had a big week, week one, couple touchdowns. Are you feeling any better about Crowell?
And Crowell, I feel all right about Crowell. I feel better about Marshawn Lynch. He's doing exactly what I hoped he was going to do. He's just getting the goal line touches and racking up a touchdown every game so far. Crowell's kind of a boom or bust guy. He obviously boomed that first game and was a low-key bust last week, but I don't really have many options with Chris Carson not getting any love from the Seahawks this past week.
Even though Carroll said that he's going to be the number one guy going forward, you don't think he's going to, you know, prove some value later on, or is it just Seattle's O-line that horrible where you just don't really want to play him?
Yeah, I'm kind of scared of playing him yet, no matter what Carroll says. The only Carroll I listen to is my mom, Carol Fitzgerald. So I'm going to wait on that, see what happens. I'm pretty happy with my Ebron ad, but I won't toot my own horn too much. What do you think about it?
Your wide receivers are crazy strong. I do like Marvin Jones this week against the New England. DeAndre and Stephon are monsters. Goff should have a big week. Like his that whole Rams offense is so good. It's really not fair. I think you've got a decent shot at taking down Andrew because his wide receivers could all have down days. And if yours all have really big days, like Stephon going against Buffalo and DeAndre against the Giants should put up a ton of points. I think it's going to be close. I could really see either team winning. When I talked to Andrew, he was very high on his team and I was kind of buying into it. And now you're talking about your team. You're not, you know, as high on your own team, but I could see.
I'm just high on crack. That's all.
That's true. Okay. That makes a lot more sense then. I think it's going to be Andrew just because I think his running back should have a bigger day than your running backs are going to have. And I think that's going to make up for him not necessarily having any wide receivers to play or not, you know, great matchups for them to be in kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll remember that, Rick.
Okay. So those are the matchups. That means it is time for segments. Do you want to lead off here?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I've got a Brock of the Week.
Brock! Brock! Brock, 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 Brock! Brock!
Brock of the Week.
My Brock of the Week is going to go to LeSean McCoy. As we heard about from Dr. Andrew, he's got these cracked ribs that just doesn't sound good and something to do with the cartilage in between them. It's hard enough to play football and breathe when you have healthy ribs. McCoy has bad ribs, and he's also taking on the Vikings defense with that horrible Bills O-line. I just think that is going to be a recipe for disaster. I'm probably going to be wrong, though, although I'm so far 1-for-1 on my Brocks of the Week when I went with Salami Watkins week one. I said he was going to be bad. I think McCoy is projected at 5. Oh, that's his average is 5.7. I don't know what he's projected 9.4. I would expect somewhere maybe in the sixes for McCoy this week. I just don't like him at all. If he even plays, which, I mean, I have no idea what the Bills are doing or if they care about their players, you know, being healthy or not. So, LeSean McCoy, Brock of the Week.
Brock of the Week.
Brock of the week. I like that. I like that. Yeah, I don't have a Brock of the week this week, but I do have a You Got Plaxicode from last week.
You Got Plaxicode.
Shot myself in the foot by not starting Devontae Freeman, All-Pro running back for the Atlanta Falcons.
You mean by not sitting?
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. You know what I mean. See, I'm so confused. No wonder I forgot to bench him.
Yeah, we also gave you the JoJo of the Week award there for forgetting to look at your lineup either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or even Sunday morning.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of had heard that he might be out, but I didn't know he's fully ruled out until it was too late. So, what are you gonna do? Do more research?
I mean, no. It probably should have had the O next to his name starting on like Friday or Saturday. So I don't know. It's not a good look for you, Scott.
I'm busy Friday and Saturday, partying, man. I don't have time for that. They need to make this stuff official during the week.
Well, if it's any if it's any consolation, I don't think he plays this week. So I think you've got the right lineup there. But yeah, you did get Plaxicode very hard.
You got Plaxicode.
Feels good every time. All right, I do have a public service announcement for a public service campaign that is going on right now that I'm involved with. If I could do a read for that, that'd be great.
Yeah, just for sure. Go ahead.
All right. It's generated off kind of like a big news story. I know you probably have been following it. Happened last week or so.
Okay.
Well, I'll get into it. So, an advocacy group that assesses chemicals in consumer products, the Environmental Working Group, has recently discovered several oat-based breakfast products, including Cheerios, to contain trace amounts of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. We are the Center for Cheerios Survivors. If you have a loved one who has ingested thousands of metric tons of Cheerios in the past 25 years, and they have displayed symptoms such as a lack of sleepiness, being constantly late to things, the inability to grow over 5'9", stinky farts, a taste for bland foods, slurring words, intoxicated or otherwise, general messiness, being constantly sick, forgetting to set their fantasy football lineup before 10 a.m. on Sunday, or general indecisiveness, don't give them a hard time. Chances are, they have also ingested thousands of metric tons of Roundup. This has been a message from the Center for Cheerios Survivors in partnership with General Mills and Monsanto.
Wow, thank you so much, Scott, for that that information. That was that's going to save a life.
Yeah, at least one, I think.
Yeah, and we should all, everyone should be a lot nicer to anyone we know that's ever had Cheerios before, because that's a very serious thing that we should take very seriously. So I appreciate you.
That's all my organization was going for, so thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for coming on, sharing that vital information as well as the vital information on these fantasy matchups upcoming.
Anytime. Look forward to speaking with you again, Rick, and was great. We should do it again sometime.
We should. Good luck in your matchup this week. You're going to need it.
All right. Poor luck to you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
You're not welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed another crab-tacular episode of the pod. Be sure to tune in to Fantasy Football Today on 95.3 The Score, 95.3thescore.com on Sunday mornings to get the latest quality information for both daily and regular fantasy for your team. Also, be sure to tune into the Bi-Mart Game of the Week this Friday night as South Eugene Axe are hosting the Eagle Point Eagles. Eagle Point is 3-0 in the season, the number 4 team in 5A, and South Eugene down from 6A to 5A. They're 2-1 going into their first league home game of the season. Tim Thompson and I will be on the call. Pre-game starts at 6:45. Kickoff follows at 7. Thanks again for listening to the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck to you in your fantasy matchup this week.